Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Home Theater Geeks is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com. This is Home Theater Geeks with Scott Wilkinson, Episode 5, live from CES 2010. Home Theater Geeks is brought to you by GoToMeeting. Do more and travel less with GoToMeeting. Make your next meeting a GoToMeeting instead. For your free 30-day trial, visit GoToMeeting.com/TWiT. And by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to Audible.com/TWiT. And remember to follow Audible on Twitter at Audible_com. And by the new voice-activated Sync, featuring hands-free calling, music and podcast search, and turn-by-turn navigation. Available exclusively on Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. For more details, visit SyncMyRide.com. It's time for Home Theater Geeks, and look, it's me. What am I doing here? This is the Scott Wilkinson podcast. Hey, Scott Wilkinson. It's good to see you from ultimateavmag.com. And, of course, a columnist for the
Home Theater Mag.com.
And this is your show, isn't it? I mean, I know there's CD and there's other video shows, but this is the show where you see such great stuff.
This is the biggest show of the year, really.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So is it an exhausting show for you to do?
Oh, terrible.
We're live at CES.
Yeah. Live at CES.
Yeah, that's right. Because it's an electronic show.
That's right. And I've got about 5 miles on my shoes right now.
Yeah, you can tell.
I'm wearing a pedometer.
Are you? So you really know that. Yeah. I was going to say, I should have a pedometer. Yeah. 5 miles.
Yeah, and that's only in 2 days. And the first day was a press conference day. So we were just going from one room to another in the Venetian ballroom area. So it wasn't even that far.
So you get here on Tuesday, right?
I do, yeah.
Is there anything going on Tuesday?
There is. There is something called CES Unveiled, which is kind of a pre-CES thing. Gary Shapiro, the head of the CEA, the Consumer Electronics Association that puts on this show, gives a speech, and there's some preview type things going on. I haven't been to that in many years because I've been coming here.
You know better.
I think this is probably...
I talked to a few people who said...
It's close to 20 years for me.
No, I'm going to skip that one.
Yeah, yeah. So I drive in, actually, from L.A., THX is kind enough to loan me one of their...
You drove one of the Lincolns?
The Lincoln MKZ with the THX system. Yeah. Oh, it sounded great. I was listening to, believe it or not, it has a DVD audio drive in this car, which lets you play DVD audios, which are multi-channel, mixed in multi-channel. And I listened, for example, to Chicago 5. Remember that album?
Yeah.
It had...
those great horns.
Phenomenal. Those guys have been around for over 40 years.
What's one of the songs on that?
Saturday in the Park.
Saturday, yeah.
The big hit.
Saturday in the Park. That would be a great test for a stereo system because of the horn section.
Yep.
Because, I mean, that's a big, big production number.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the rest of that album, actually, they get kind of outside. They did some pretty out jazz, which
was
great.
Yeah,
you know, so
fun.
Here I am driving through the desert. Looking at the scenery.
I'm so jealous.
This is such a smooth car, too.
Did you play with Sync at all?
I did, yeah. I called my wife. I just said, call.
Yeah.
Call home.
Yeah, isn't it great?
It was great.
Yeah.
It was really great, yeah. So
so you made it out here.
Yep.
You skipped CES Unveiled.
Yeah, yeah. I had dinner Tuesday night with DTS. They always host a press dinner for pre-CES at Nobu, which is a sushi restaurant at the Hard Rock.
Nobu's famous in L.A. I didn't know there was a Nobu here.
There is.
Oh,
yeah,
the
Hard Rock.
The sushi restaurant.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they fed us very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. So then Wednesday... up bright and early. The first press conference is at 8 a.m.
And we should say that the show doesn't begin until Thursday. So
correct.
This is a pre-show
this
day.
This is press day.
Yeah.
They call it press day.
Yeah.
And there's nothing to do except go to these press conferences. And there are hundreds, literally hundreds of journalists here. And they, so all the big companies have their press conferences. LG is always the first at 8 in the morning.
Is that tradition?
It is tradition. That's
been
as long as I've been coming here.
How funny.
They've had their press conference at 8 a.m. on Wednesday.
Wow.
And then we went through, I went to Toshiba, Samsung, Sharp, Panasonic, Sony, all had their press conferences. Everybody at the Venetian, which is a hotel, sort of, it's on the Strip, but it's a little ways away from here.
Mm-hmm.
And but Sony then does theirs in their booth, which is here in the convention center. So we all have to truck over here for the last press conference.
They had a nice booth, though. It's a redesigned booth since the last time I'd seen it. And it's all black. It's a dark booth, which is kind of interesting. I think it's good for TV, though.
It is.
Right?
It's really good for TV. It's exactly what it should be. So.
Yeah. Well, either that or what, 20% gray? that wouldn't look so good.
I'm at 9% gray in my home theater and
that's
my
almost
studio.
Black. That's
almost
pretty dark.
Black. It's pretty dark. Yeah, exactly right.
No, I thought that was a very striking booth because most of the booths are very colorful and Panasonic's booth is huge. It goes the whole length of the hall at one point.
Yep. LG the same.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
So you went to all the press conferences, and then now the first day of the show, Thursday, that's the day you actually come onto the show floor and put those 5 miles on.
Well, actually, I put about 2.5 on the first day. And
did you really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pardon me.
That's the other thing that goes right away is the
right
voice.
Right away is the voice,
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So much talking, but also the dry air. It's just it's a lot of work.
The important thing there is to stay hydrated. Drink a lot of water.
Thank you.
You're reaching for your water there. I have mine right here.
I'm learning my lesson.
That's right. Avoid talking when you don't have to.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Very important there. Right. Take steamy showers or breathe in the steam from tea, that which helps moisturize the vocal cords.
Yeah, I brought a vaporizer with me.
Good for you.
A lot of moisture.
Because it's very dry here.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, exactly.
So let's talk about what you saw. I tell you what, I already went over to the TV pavilion, the hall that has all the TVs. First thing you walk in the door, LG's booth is there, and they're showing, it's huge, they're showing the most beautiful thin LCD, very little bezel, it's just almost a plate of glass.
Yes, exactly
right.
It's
gorgeous.
It's a concept prototype, it's not actually going to be a product this year, but it's quarter of an inch thick.
They must have a breakout box, right, for the electronics, because there's no way you get the electronics in there.
Yeah, that's right. It is beautiful. It's really approaching OLED territory in terms of thickness or thinness.
Yeah.
6.9 millimeters. The thinnest.
6.9 millimeters.
That's 0.226 inches.
Quarter of an inch thick.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
But now Samsung did something. They also had a very, very thin one. I don't know if they went that thin, though. That's remarkable.
No. Samsung's thinnest one is.
The 8500, which we were talking about, is an inch and a half, but I think they've got it down to an inch.
They've got it down to an inch or slightly under.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's remarkable.
Right. Samsung's got a lot of great TVs.
They do, but I'm telling you, if LG can ship a 6-7 millimeter thick TV, they will sell it on the thickness alone, regardless of the quality.
And if it's presumably the quality is going to be great, it's actually an LED backlit.
So, okay, now let's talk about that, because before the show, you had some early information from Samsung you were embargoed on.
That's right.
But we can now talk about it.
Yep.
I think you've been saying that we like the direct backlit LEDs because you can get really black blacks, you can have local dimming.
Yep.
Samsung says we're not going to make them anymore.
That's true. They did not announce any backlit LCDs LED backlit LCDs.
They're going to the edge lit.
To the edge lit.
Why? What's going on?
Well, for one thing, and the LG announcement kind of belies this a little bit, and I didn't know it until we got here. But
Samsung said it's too expensive, too hard to make.
You can't make it thin enough.
Right.
The LED backlight.
But LG has a 6.9 millimeter with direct backlit. Yeah. So there's something going on.
There are some other interesting problems with LED backlighting. You're exactly right that it lets you dim the LEDs behind the dark parts of the scene and brighten them in behind the bright parts of the scene, which increases the contrast, lowers the blacks, all very good things.
Right.
But it also, the LEDs in the backlight are arranged in zones, and there aren't very many zones. These days there are typically like 100 zones, and each of the zones get brightened and darkened as a unit. So it's a very low resolution. And as a result, pardon me, you're right, it's already happening.
It's froggy time. Yeah.
as a result, when you get things like white letters on a black background, like the credits at the end of a movie, you'll often see halos.
A fringe
around the white letters because the LEDs see the white letters and they go, oh, I need to brighten up.
Right.
But the entire zone brightens up.
Right. So there are that is a problem.
It is a problem.
Because, you know, one of the ways I probably foolishly so judge the crispness of a TV is by lettering.
Yes, yes.
I'm looking for crisp lettering. So if I see fuzzy lettering, it's not going to be good.
Well, it's not that the lettering is fuzzy per se.
It's just glowing.
It kind of glows a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Now, a couple of announcements with LED backlighting at the show have indicated that people are starting to increase the number of zones. I think that LG has 260 zones or something.
And so more would be better.
Yes, more would be better. On the other hand, more means more LEDs, which means more power consumption, even though LEDs don't consume that much. But the more you put in there, the more it consumes.
Well, that's another big story. We're seeing a lot of eco.
Huge.
I want to talk more about OLED because we're seeing some OLED screens. 3D, of course, is the big story.
The big story.
I'm getting excited about 4K, though. I want to talk to you a little bit more about that. There's a lot to talk about. This is a heck of a show. We're talking with Scott Wilkinson. Of course, this is his show, so I really should let you introduce me or something like that. It's Home Theater Geeks, and we're going to have more live from the show floor at the Consumer Electronics Show. But I want to remind you that this program brought to you, as always, by our good friends at GoToMeeting, who remind us we could have just stayed here. We didn't have to really come all this way. We could have had a GoToMeeting. How long before CES is done with GoToMeeting? Wouldn't that be great? I want you to try GoToMeeting right now. Go to GoToMeeting.com/twit. You get 30 days free of this amazing technology that lets you hold a meeting without leaving your office or your home. It just takes a minute to install. No security issues because it's 128-bit encrypted. No firewall issues. No router issues. It's NAT traversal. Amazing technology means it just works out of the box. You don't have to be a guru to set it up. But let me tell you, you will impress your clients and colleagues the next time you're on a conference call and you say, you know, I've got to show you this PowerPoint. I've got to show you the slides, the spreadsheets, the drawing. How can I do that? Oh, wait a minute. Let's go to GoToMeeting. And you say, go to GoToMeeting.com. Here's the meeting ID. All of a sudden, they see your screen on their computer, and they're blown away. It makes a meeting more effective, more engaging. You'll close more sales. Your training will improve. Your product demos, your collaboration. It's an incredible product. Please try it. GoToMeeting.com/twit. We thank them so much for supporting our visit to CES 2010. Scott Wilkinson is here. He is the Home Theater Geek, our new podcast. I think it's our newest podcast on the Twit Network.
Yeah, I've only done four episodes now, but having a wonderful time
I'm
doing it.
I'm loving it. All you have to do to find out more about it is go to twit.tv/htg, and you can subscribe to the podcast there.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you're going to be here for the whole radio show on Sunday.
You bet.
We'll have a lot to talk about. We only have an hour here. It's going to take 3 hours just to cover the surface of what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Let me ask you about 3D, because this is clearly... I'm using this Vegas metaphor. The manufacturers and everybody, Panasonic, Sony, Sharp, LG, everybody's...
Samsung,
I say doubling down, maybe even going all in with 3D. They've made a huge investment.
Huge.
You and I have gone back and forth about 3D. In my opinion, it reduces, no matter what you say about how effective the 3D is, it reduces the quality of the image to me. I don't think it's as good an image as it would be with just a 2D high-def image. And when I see these 4K images, and there are a number of them, they always bring them. They truck out the 4K every CES.
Yes,
it's not like they're selling this stuff yet.
Right, no.
But I think I would be, if in their shoes, developing 4K. I think it's more realistic, more dramatic, more immersive. And I understand that's the point of 3D, is to be immersive. You disagree?
Well... yes and no. 4K certainly is...
4K is four times the resolution of high def. Twice in each direction.
Twice in each direction, right, exactly. The problem is that whether or not it's more effective than regular high def, that is 1080p, 1920 by 1080, depends on the screen size and how far away you're sitting. If you're sitting far enough away from a small enough screen...
I guess you're right.
You can't see the difference.
Matter. It doesn't matter. You have to sit close. Somebody here has an 80 or 100-inch 4K set. I think it was Panasonic.
Panasonic has 152-inch 4K plasma.
I love this thing! I want this thing! I don't care if it costs $1 million, because it's like looking at a window.
Yes.
And they have one shot where they're zooming up on El Capitan, and there's somebody climbing up in the waterfall. And it's just... I'm telling you... that's more immersive than 3D, in my opinion. And maybe it's too expensive to be practical.
You weren't looking at... it wasn't showing 3D at that time?
They have 3D 4K?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot me.
Well, one thing I'll tell you about 3D 4K is JVC in the Central Hall, I'm pretty sure, is showing a 4K front projector in 3D. And they're using two 4K front projectors.
And wait a minute. Two... 4K. You mean so it's 8? It's 8K?
No, or? No. They're overlapped.
Oh, to do the
but to do the right
the
and left
vision.
Eyes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
To do the right and left eyes. So you're getting full 4K in each eye.
Right.
And I haven't seen it yet. I'm going over there later today, and I'll probably see it there. But that is bound to be mighty impressive. And I'm pretty sure Panasonic is doing 3D on their big plasma as well, because they're huge into 3D. They've got Samsung and Sony. I'm sorry, Panasonic and Sony are the two companies that are involved in 3D end to end.
Right.
They make cameras. They make.
You've drunk the 3D Kool-Aid, haven't you? No, seriously.
Not entirely.
So, I mean, it's a big bet. When I see these companies spending this much money, I figure, well, they've got to have done the market research. They must know that this is a market. But it just bugs me. I'm sorry. And I said, where are the glasses? I don't think people are going to want to wear glasses in their living room. It just bugs me.
Well, but you also have said that you don't have as good depth perception.
However, I'm seeing 3D, so it's, I don't know what's happening, but I'm able to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But now, you tell me, because you have depth perception, you have your stereo vision. Is the picture as good on a 3D image as it is on a 2D of the same TV? No.
It depends.
It's not.
No, not really.
No.
No.
So you're losing quality. There's this kind of weird fuzziness.
It's not fuzziness. To me,
it's hard to describe.
It is kind of hard to describe. There's a little bit of a disconnect between objects in the close foreground and objects behind them. I noticed this on Avatar.
Yes.
You went and saw Avatar
yes.
in 3D.
And it bugged the hell out of me.
Yeah. And this, like, for example, the snowflakes coming down.
Yes. And they're like, oh.
They're in the foreground. The ones
they're
in the
foreground.
They kind of look disconnected
yes.
from the rest of the
yes.
scene. Now, I have to say that Avatar 3D looked more integrated than most 3D I've seen.
Cameron said he only did 3 shots just for the effect.
Right.
But that's 3 too many in my book.
Yeah. I could have lived without those gimmicky
yeah.
shots as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
But again, I agree with you. They've done the market research. People must want. I can't tell yet whether it's that consumers really want it,
right,
or the studios and the manufacturers want to push it on us.
Right.
I honestly haven't answered that question for myself yet.
Well, now, this is what Bill Handel on KFI, I did a segment with him this morning, said, mm-hmm. well, they just want to sell TVs.
Yeah, exactly.
And, because, I mean, they said, wow, we had a gold mine with HD TV. How can we get people to buy new TVs again?
Yep.
My position is go 4K. I'll buy a new TV.
As long as you can get a big enough screen. As long as you can have a big enough screen to make it make a difference.
No, you're right, because I saw a smaller 4K screen. And it's like, okay, it's clear.
It's clear. It's beautiful.
Now, there's some other technologies here that are blowing my mind. I want to talk about them in a bit, including RGBY.
Yes, from Sharp.
That's bizarre.
It is, and
we'll talk about what it is, because I don't understand what it is,
sure.
and I don't understand the point of it.
Sure.
But we mentioned OLED. Let's talk a little bit about OLED. I saw some bigger OLED screens. There's no, I'm not seeing 60-inch OLED screens.
No. You're not going to see that. You see maybe 27, 30-inch.
Yeah.
And those are even prototypes.
They look good.
Oh, yeah. They look fabulous. LG actually has a 15-inch OLED that they're about to or maybe even have already started selling.
Yeah.
I don't know what the price of it is. I'm sure it's very expensive.
Right.
And you're really not going to see, other than these prototypes, Samsung I'm sure has a 27 or a 30 or something. Sony does the same. Sony's doing 3D on OLED.
Oh, that might be interesting.
Which is kind of
is it crisper?
I haven't
better?
Seen it yet.
Yeah.
You have to, again, use the glasses. Yeah, how many people are going to want to really wear those glasses at home?
That's the problem. And I don't know of any way that you could do it without glasses.
You
have to separate left from right eyes.
That's right. There is no... Well, there are a few experiments.
You could
in what's put
a sheet of plywood down the middle.
Yes, you could, but that would not be practical either. No, there have been a few experiments with audio stereoscopic displays, but
right.
you have to put your head in a vise, essentially, to get to be in the sweet spot. With the glasses, you can be a lot wider range of places. Anyway, OLED, we're going to see here at the show, but how important that's going to be in the greater scheme of things, I really don't know. I tend to think not.
Right.
These days.
Let me ask What was his name? Somebody. It says it's a highlight of the chat room. Unfortunately, I now think his name is Highlight. Lenin 2010, I think it is.
Yeah.
Wants to know about plasmas. Is it all LCD here, or are we seeing a lot of plasmas?
We are seeing some plasmas. Certainly, Samsung introduced a whole slew of new plasmas. Panasonic introduced a slew of new plasmas, and LG as well.
Yeah.
So those are the three
big plasma
companies.
They're still doing the plasmas.
They are. They are.
I was impressed to see the LG plasmas. I thought they looked good.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Samsung says that plasma is still about 15% of their TV business and growing, they said. So I'm really happy to hear that because I do not want to see plasma go away.
Yeah. No, me neither. In fact, my Kuro is waiting for me when I get home.
Oh, it came back.
It came back.
Good.
And this time we know about the hidden on switch.
The hidden on switch.
I didn't even have Jammer B open it. I just said, Jammer B, leave it in there. I'm sure it'll be fine. And you know, so that, I want to set that up.
That happened to me.
That's the 60-inch Kuro.
The first Kuro I reviewed, the same thing happened to me. I took it out of the box.
I hit
the remote's power switch. Nothing happened. I went, what the hell's going on here? So I tried and tried and tried. Finally, I called Pioneer. I said, what? It's not turning on. Said, oh, well, you need to turn on the hard switch in the back.
Doi. Did you see the boxy box?
No, I haven't seen
it. I love that. We'll talk about that later.
Maybe
you
Sunday
can get to see that. This is a stream. You know, I think one of the stories, of course, is all the streaming content, Popcorn Hour, Roku, and everything. And Boxy, which is a great user interface that has been around for a while based on XBMC, now is built in. It's the UI for a D-Link set-top box, streaming set-top box. It's gorgeous, and I really like it. And we're on it, so that's one of the reasons I like it. How about TiVo? Any TiVo news?
I don't know yet.
All right. I'm giving you assignments. This is stuff that...
I've got to write this all down.
You need to go out.
I need to go find Boxy and TiVo.
Take a look at.
I know TiVo's in a little meeting room. I don't think they have a booth.
If we're going 3D with the screens, how about 3D cameras?
Yes. Panasonic introduced a 3D camcorder, a professional model. Two lenses.
So it's two cameras, almost like two cameras strapped together.
Uh-huh, yeah. But it's pretty small.
Okay.
It's actually pretty portable. Sony's been doing it for a while. I don't think they made any announcements. They didn't at their press conference anyway.
Right.
The big news, the big 3D news otherwise, though, is all the partnerships that have been announced. Sony announced that they are a sponsor of ESPN 3D, which is going to come online.
And I have to say, I think I missed the boat a little bit on 3D because sports does seem like a very compelling product in 3D.
I did want to make that point, absolutely.
Yeah. And so live sporting action, if you you get deals with ESPN, that makes a lot of sense. I know DirecTV made a big splash with their 3D announcement. Just as they launched HD on satellite, they're now launching 3D on satellite.
Right.
And they have a sports deal too. DirecTV is a big NFL, the big NFL satellite. So.
Yep. Sony announced I'm just looking at my notes here. They announced a partnership with Discovery Channel and IMAX.
Yeah.
To do a dedicated 3D network in 2011.
Yeah. See, this is rolling out much like HD did.
Yes.
But unlike HD, which I saw immediately the value of,
right.
I think a lot of people are still a little skeptical about 3D.
And you you alluded to a great point earlier about, you know, this is a way for the manufacturers to sell more TVs and Blu-ray players because
It seems to me that's what they're going for.
In order to see 3D, you have to have a 3D capable TV. And so for those people who just bought their brand new beautiful flat panel, you know, I hope they're not kicking themselves going, grr.
I don't think they are.
I hope not, because there's really no point to do that. The beautiful
there
TV...
There is a lot of 3D content, though. I'm amazed at the amount.
Going to be.
We mentioned earlier, Sony's selling a TV that has a cell processor in it.
Toshiba.
They can upgrade a 2D image to 3D. I don't know how they're doing
it. Samsung's doing the same thing in real time. Now, the cell processor on the Toshiba TV, you can understand because the cell
is a huge processor.
It's an amazing processor.
Which Sony has discontinued. So I think they're going to make this once.
They're not going to put it in
the... Sony announced no more development on the cell processor. Toshiba must just be furious.
Now, the cell is what powers the PS3, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know what they're going to do.
I don't know either.
They must just be furious because, obviously, a TV like this has been in development for a long time.
Oh, yeah. It had a soft launch. We saw it last year a little bit.
Yeah.
But, man, that thing is all seeing, all dancing.
It's basically eight 3.2 gigahertz processors in there. So you have enough power to do things like upscale 2D to 3D. We were trying to figure out, Kiki and I were trying to figure out how they would do that. It must be they're looking at depth of field, maybe doing edge recognition. If something has a fuzzy edge, assume it's the background. If it's got a clear edge, assume it's the foreground. That's not going to always work.
No.
It's going to give you an odd result. The other thing we saw over at the Sony booth, which I thought just cracked me up, is the remoteless remote. Did you see the gal going like this?
Remote, yeah.
Of course, it didn't work half the time.
Right.
And you have to click on something, you have to point at it and hold your finger still, and then it goes, okay. I think that's not going to take off.
No.
I think that's not going to take off.
No, the Cell TV is really, really impressive. 480 hertz.
Okay, let's talk about that, because yeah. I looked at the demo on 480 hertz. In fact, they did a nice job. They've got two screens side by side, scrolling by in 120 hertz and then in 480 hertz. Now, we know, we've already talked about with you many times on the radio show, that 120 is interpolated from 60.
Right.
So you just add a frame. 240 is interpolated, but to get to 480, they're adding black frames.
Well, it's a little complicated. Some sets actually do real 240 hertz, where they interpolate a bunch of frames between the actual frames. In other cases, they interpolate fewer frames at 120 hertz and then do this backlight scanning.
Okay.
And so 480, in the case of Toshiba, is again 240 with backlight scanning to simulate the effect of 480.
It looked a little odd to me. It looked a little plasticky in some of the images. They were seemingly crisper, but kind of odd.
They were crisper, and they are odd. And this is one of the big arguments or points of discussion that I have with my colleagues who say, and I agree, that interpolation, frame interpolation like that, imparts a video look. It makes it kind of look like a soap opera.
I hate to say all these things. I don't like 3D. I don't like this because I'm sounding like a curmudgeon. But I'm less than overwhelmed by it. And maybe that's my job, is to be like Dvorak and just say, well, I don't like that.
I don't like this or that. Yeah, yeah. You know, I recognize that interpolation does make it look kind of like a video thing, but I personally, it doesn't bother me like it does many of my colleagues.
It looks, sports look good. I mean,
it cleans things up.
Yeah, it does
clean it up. It cleans things up, which I really like.
Yeah.
They're doing wireless HD on this cell technology.
They also are doing some upscaling from they did some other upscaling I saw to 4K, basically. They took 2K and went to 4K. They had another demo at the cell at the Toshiba booth where they had a picture split in half, 2K to 4K.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, and I don't know if they were doing 4K in both dimensions. I got the sense that they were... No, I guess they were. They were doubling it in both dimensions.
Uh-huh.
It did look a lot crisper. I mean, it's not 4K.
Right.
But we already upscale ED to HD.
Yeah.
So this is taking HD to whatever. There's a name for a 4K. I can't remember what it is. But taking it to the next. UHD, I think, is what it is.
Oh, I think, I think you're right.
Ultra HD.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break, come back with more with Scott Wilkinson. If you're in the chat room and if you have a question for Scott, something you'd like to ask him about, irc.twit.tv. I am watching that, and anything you'd like to ask Scott, I'm kind of trying to translate those questions. Everybody has a lot of interest in the stuff that we're seeing here.
Sure.
Lots more to talk about. Your reporter's notebook is
jam-packed,
full. Great stuff, but it is time. Now, they say your lower third is wrong, but I can't figure out what is wrong with your lower third. Scott Wilkinson, did I spell it wrong? I think I got it right. UltimateAVGuide.com.
No, UltimateAVMag.
Ah, see, this is why I have to ask Scott. How many years have you been on my show? We first met at a CES.
We did. We did. It must have been 2000. When were you here last?
2004 was the last time I was here. I was doing the radio show from here.
Right. It must have been then.
Wow.
I remember walking down the hall between the central and north halls, and here you come up the street and up the hall, and I recognized you from Tech TV.
Right.
And so
you buttonholed me.
Of course, I stuck my hand out, introduced myself. What else am I going to do, right? And you said, hey, you want to be on my show?
Well, and ever since, he's been on my show a lot. We've got a new podcast with Scott. You're listening to it if you're listening to the podcast. Home Theater Geeks. It's twit.tv/HTG. And each week, Scott interviews a luminary in the home theater business. And that's really been... I've been learning so much from the interviews you've done so far. And
I thought it would be a great idea to bring in these people from the industry who a lot of consumers might have heard of or at least know the company that they're from. And get their perspective and really chat with them about what they're doing in the industry.
Right.
And I found it to be very interesting. I agree with you. We had, my first guest was Tom Holman, the TH and THX.
Yep.
Joe Kane is like the video guru. He's the geekiest geek I know. Andy Parsons, we were talking about 3D on Blu-ray, which is the big thing here. We're seeing a lot of Blu-ray.
Well, you
got
to have the content. You're going to make the TVs. You got to have the content.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And then Don Eklund from Executive Vice President of Advanced Technology, Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. So we've had some really great guests, and a lot of them coming up too. So
go to twit.tv/HTG and start listening to Home Theater Geeks. We're going to have more with Scott. In fact, I'm going to ask you about audio. So get your audio pages ready. Because this is a home theater. It's not just video. It's audio as well.
But let's not forget sharp yellow.
Oh, we've got to talk about RGBY.
RGBY.
Like, does that make any sense? I don't know. We'll find out. It's the new thing. But I want to mention our friends at Audible.com. They're the folks who bring us here. We couldn't do this without the sponsors. It's been a very expensive enterprise. Not $1 million. That's what it cost Tech TV, but a lot for me. And thanks to folks like Audible, we can do this. Audible.com/twits, the place to go for your free audiobook. I know, Scott, you listen to audiobooks. I listen to audiobooks.
Oh, yeah.
If you've got a commute, if you spend time in a plane, even when I'm on the treadmill at the gym, I love to listen to audiobooks. It's a way to keep up with my reading, keep up with my business, but also other stuff that I'm interested in, history, fiction, science fiction. I read a lot of science fiction on
Me
Audible.
Too.
Yeah, I'm just finishing Jerry Pournelle's Moat in God's Eye, which is a classic.
Oh, that's a classic. Wonderful book. Yeah.
Highly recommended. If you go to audible.com/twit right now, you're going to browse around. You're going to find a million books you could read, but pick one that you really like, and we'll give it to you for free. Audible.com/twit. Sign up for the gold account, and that first book is free. Yours to keep, even if you cancel at any time. I love Audible. I know you will, too. Audible.com/twit. Thank them so much for their support of our show all the time, of all of our shows, but also of this special coverage from CES 2010. Scott Wilkinson is here, the home theater geek, and he is. We were trying to come up with a name for your show, and it just was obvious.
Yep.
Home theater geeks. So Sharp, which makes the great Aquos LCD TVs. And I love the Aquos.
Yep. Yep.
As you know, everybody's got to have something new, something different, something to distinguish them.
Yep.
They say they're going to do RGB, red, green, blue. We're used to that. Mm-hmm. Yellow.
Yep. They've added a They've added a fourth, what they call primary color now. Yellow.
Is it really a color?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's really a color. It's not a primary color. It's what we call a secondary color.
Yeah, we've been able to do yellow in the past with RGB.
Yeah, you just basically yellow is adding red and green together.
Right.
But they've decided that they want to put yellow subpixels. Okay, so each pixel of information on the screen typically consists of three what are called subpixels, a red one, a green one, and a blue one. Mm-hmm. They've added a fourth one, which is yellow. They call it quad pixel, of course.
Okay.
And they say they made a big deal of it at their press conference.
They're saying it's the color gamut. So they go from billions to trillions of colors.
That's right. And they expand the color gamut, which is the range of colors that
now,
you can display.
As a geek, I understand that. Because you know, when you buy a monitor, if you're a photographer, different monitors have better gamuts. Mm-hmm. And the expensive monitors can display a wider range of colors, which means more accurate reproduction. Is it the same gamut? When they talk about it, is that what they're talking about?
Well, they're talking about exactly that, the range of colors that they can reproduce. The problem is this. The gamut, the range of colors that that are used in the production of television shows and movies and so on is a very well-established standard.
Yes, everything's RGB.
Well, it's RGB, but it's particular colors of RGB.
Oh, the number of RGB. Because now this is, okay, so question one is, can't you do the full color gamut with RGB? Yes, obviously.
Of course you can.
So the problem
with this quad color technology is that it actually expands the gamut beyond the HDTV standard. And I have a problem with that.
Who's going to support it?
Just like your computer monitor where you want it to be an accurate reflection of the picture you took or the video you took or whatever.
Right.
Similarly, the TV, you want it to reproduce the colors that were used in the production of that program accurately. And if you expand the color gamut of the TV that's displaying it, then the green, then if something comes in and it says, I'm green, its green is different than what they saw when they produced that image. So I do not agree with Sharp's or anybody's idea of expanding the color gamut. And a lot of TV manufacturers say, oh, we have an expanded color gamut. No.
So what you're saying, there's a standard color space defined by whoever the
SMPTE
video...
SMPTE. Yeah.
That's the color space every TV has to reproduce.
In my opinion.
And if you're going to be accurate, you don't need more.
You don't want more.
You don't want more. You need that yellow is yellow. That blue is blue.
That's right. That's exactly right.
It's defined.
Right. That's right. It's well defined. And Sharp has decided to go beyond that.
It seems odd to me.
I don't agree with it.
Look at the displays?
They had a demo of the new display, and interestingly, right next to their last year's model, mm-hmm. which didn't have these yellow colors. and they were showing brass instruments, which, of course, I know
very
well.
They showed yellow instruments.
And the instruments looked very...
They looked more yellow.
They looked more yellowy. They didn't look like brass.
They didn't look more natural.
Yeah, they didn't look natural to me. So I was not happy with that.
It looked like a yellow TV. I thought, this is very odd. I don't really understand it.
Yeah.
Did you ask them? Did you put them on the spot? Say, why are you doing this?
No. These press conferences have hundreds of people. It's difficult.
You can't really do that.
It's difficult. Yeah. I'm going to talk to them about it when I go visit them, of course. But it's unfortunately, whereas every other press conference was talking about 3D, they weren't.
They have 3D displays.
They have a 3D prototype in their booth, but they weren't making a big deal of it as everybody else was.
So maybe that
they're
while
a little
these,
behind the curve.
Well, or that while all these other companies are doubling down on 3D, they're deciding to wait and see.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah, I don't know what I would do at this point. I think there's got to be a huge Me Too, because if you're showing in the store, and the checkbox is 3D, and you don't have it, you're just not going to get the buy. You're not going to get the purchase, whether or not. Because a 3D TV can be a 2D TV, right?
Absolutely. It can show 2D just fine. No problem.
I think there are going to be a lot of glasses gathering dust in about 3 years.
Well, that may be, unless the studios have put out a bunch of stuff.
Let's talk about audio.
We've got to do a little audio here, yeah.
Yeah, that's a big thing. We're sitting right in front of Earthquake, which is every once in a while. I don't know if you notice it, but they turn on the subwoofers and we all kind of start bouncing around. I'm sure we roll off anything that low. But
right, exactly.
I can feel it anyway. What did you see in audio?
Well, yesterday I spent the day at the Venetian Hotel, not on the show floor. So I actually haven't been on the show floor yet. I'm doing that today. But at the Venetian, they have what's called high-performance audio.
Ooh.
So I saw a bunch of interesting stuff. The one thing that comes to mind is they're in hotel rooms, right? And they're not in a showroom floor, right. So they can... really set up nice...
More normal sound.
It's kind of more normal sound.
This is not the place to be if you want to demonstrate speakers.
Yeah. No. Or even TVs, for that matter,
because
it's so bright.
Right. Yeah.
But in any event, so I went to this to the room of a Swedish maker called Perfect 8, and you probably never heard of them. They put together a stereo system, a two-channel audio system costing $1 million.
Well, I did want to buy a stereo.
Well, there you go. You should get the Perfect 8 system with the Ypsilon electronics and the...
I would just love to go to that room and just hear it.
Does it bucks.
Sound
it actually
like
sounded
bucks?
Pretty good. Yeah. It actually sounded pretty good. Now, I have to say, hotel rooms even aren't that great. for this. I haven't been up to the 34th floor yet, which is apparently where all the bigger rooms are, the penthouse suites and so on. I heard a speaker from... I don't know if you've ever heard of a Norwegian company called Elektrokompaniet.
No.
The Venetian is full of what we call audiophile companies. Okay, so they're the real geeky tube amps and that kind of stuff. And this Elektrokompaniet speaker really sounded very good. I was very impressed with that. Manly Labs, which makes mostly pro audio stuff, microphones and mic preamps for recording industry and the broadcast industry, have an iPod dock with a tube-based integrated amplifier. Cost $3,400. Cost 10 times as much as the iPod, but sounded great. Fantastic. If you like tubes, you know, there are a lot of tube companies over at the Venetian, and there are still...
I'm surprised that's still in, you know, that's still something people want.
A lot of people. A lot of these audiophiles.
Yeah.
You know, and I have to say, I have never claimed to be an audiophile.
We're too old.
Well, no. I mean, our fathers often were audiophiles.
Yeah, no, that's true. I just feel like our hearing isn't good enough.
Well, there's that.
Yeah, to really notice the difference. You know?
But these people pursue audio reproduction perfection. And they can never achieve it, of course.
Yes.
But they want to get as close as they possibly can.
We've had this conversation on the radio show. You're a musician.
I am.
You're used to perfection in a concert hall.
In the sense that...
You hear it perfectly.
Yeah, if what they're trying to do, if what the audiophiles are trying to do is reproduce the live sound experience, it can't be done. And I'm so used to the live sound experience, having played professionally for so many years.
Right.
That no amount of money, no quality of system is ever going to really make that.
Right.
So
right.
That's why I've never really been an audiophile. I mean, I like good sound, of course. I mean, I have a home recording studio. It's got Tannoy speakers, QSC amps. They're very nice. But my home theater is perfectly fine. I've got a set of PSB speakers that are very nice and a Pioneer receiver. I don't even use a separate preamp and power amp, but you know, that works just fine for me.
Right.
So
another announcement, Skype on TVs.
Yes.
That's kind of an oddball announcement.
You know, I wanted to mention that as well because the Toshiba Cell TV does that.
Panasonic has it.
Yeah, LG has it as well.
LG has it, yeah.
Yeah, Panasonic made a big deal about it at their press conference.
They have the dorkiest. I have to say, if you go to the Panasonic booth or any of these booths, all the calls are from this part of the booth to that part.
You're right.
I can't remember which. I think it was LG. Just has a place with literally a plywood partition down the middle, and you go
on
one side or the other side. It was kind of silly.
Earlier.
But the Panasonic booth, because they have a lot of real estate, has a very large kind of triptych, and it says New York, London, Paris, and there's some guy sitting in the New York place,
right.
And some gal,
yeah, waiting yeah. for a Skype
call. She says it's just like you're in the next room, and you are. It is very silly. In fact, it was kind of embarrassing because he is in the next room, probably on the same LAN,
yeah.
And it still was blocky and breaking up.
Right, right, right.
And but let's talk about the idea of putting it on your TV. You think that's a good idea?
I do think it's a good idea. I have always thought, and I've not been in the majority in this, that having the ability to surf the web from your TV I think that's a great idea. If you could, if you're watching a TV show and you see a commercial for something you like and you want to learn more about, click a button and go
right.
to their website.
Right.
I've always thought that's a great idea. I think Skype is the same sort of thing. The CEO of Skype was at one of the press conferences. You know, they're all blurring together now, but but you know, he was saying that like a third of Skype calls are now video calls.
Yeah,
and
certainly all the calls we do now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he said, and I think it's true, how important that is for staying in touch with family members, far-flung family members.
So why not put it on a TV?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Now, I have to say one thing that Panasonic demonstrated that I thought was fabulous. It was not Skype on TV, but they have what they call a high-definition visual communications system.
Well, of course it's a high-definition visual
communications
system.
They had the president, Fumio Otsabu, I think his name is, had the president of Panasonic, I mean the big cheese, from Osaka, Japan, on this huge screen, talking live to the people at the press conference.
Now, that's good.
It
that's the way you do it.
Super cool.
So this
it was
Skype,
really sharp, really smooth motion, beautiful.
Skype has updated to 720p, so it'll be working on these HD screens.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now, this Panasonic system requires, to do what it did there, like 8 megabits of bandwidth.
Okay.
But it's scalable down to 3.
Right.
Skype, of course, uses a lot less than that.
We don't, you know, we use 300 or 400 kilobits to do our streaming. In fact, we're going to go out on the show floor with Skype in our remote rig as soon as they've got that set up. Kiki's still working on it. I can see her getting the microphone ready. And they'll be going out, and we'll be Skyping to them.
Yeah.
But even 300 kilobits on an EVDO modem gives you a pretty good picture. So
if you gave it
3 megabits or 8 megabits, it should look good. It should be HD.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's telepresence at that point.
Exactly right. Yeah. And that's, I think, what the whole idea of putting Skype on TV
I want to see
about.
My family,
exactly.
The birthday party.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, you're going to have to buy an extra camera. I mean, you'll have it's in the TV, but they said it's a $150 additional camera with special microphones that work at a distance because unlike the Skype when we use it on our computer,
right.
I'm back here. The TV's way out there.
Right.
It's a sit-back experience.
Right, right. And that is certainly one of the comments that people make about, oh, what do you want to surf the web on your TV for? Because the TV is a sit-back experience,
right.
The computer is a sit-forward experience.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, okay. And you need a keyboard to, you know, type in URLs and so on. Yeah, okay, that's not such a great thing to be doing on your couch.
Right.
But I do think Skype does have a place here, definitely, for the keeping in touch with family, telepresence kind of thing.
Yeah, you know, I was skeptical at first, but the way you described that, I think you're exactly right. I think if you've got, you know, somebody overseas in the armed forces, and he's
exactly.
got a regular Skype, and you're going to have him call in, you're going to want to have every member of the family sitting on that couch.
Yep.
And you'll all be in tears and getting to see this,
yep.
and that's remarkable.
Yep.
I mean, that
yep.
is very yep. heartwarming.
I've heard stories of servicemen over in Iraq and yeah. Afghanistan having Thanksgiving dinner with their families.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly. They just keep it on.
Right. Keep it on during dinner.
I think that's pretty cool.
I do too.
I have to say, I was a little skeptical at first. I don't think it adds a whole lot of cost to these TVs because essentially what they're doing now with DLNA and on all of these TVs is they're putting media players, they're putting network access, Ethernet ports. Are we seeing a lot of that on the show floor?
Tons of it. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is that going to be kind of standard in TVs going forward?
Yeah, I do. TVs and Blu-ray players.
Even the player?
Yeah, even the Blu-ray players.
Yeah.
I asked Andy Parsons about this. I said, don't these two things conflict with each other? I mean, you have a Blu-ray player, you have streaming content coming in, which is clearly lower quality by necessity. And he said, no, I think they complement each other.
Right.
You know, if you want the best possible experience you can get, Blu-ray is it, and I agree. But you can't get everything on Blu-ray. You can get a lot more stuff online.
Right.
And so if there's something you want to see that you can't get on Blu-ray or you don't have or whatever, you know, you can get it downloading.
Your recommendation to get it in the Blu-ray player or the TV, or does it matter?
I don't think it matters particularly. Yeah. I think actually having it in the Blu-ray player is kind of a...
That's a sensible thing.
Kind of a sensible thing because you don't want more cables going to your TV.
Yeah. Oh, I'm with you on that.
You know, so now a lot of these TVs are starting to have Wi-Fi as well.
One of the things people kept saying, what do you want to see? Is the one thing I want to see is wireless HDMI. I don't want to have a wire at all going to my TV.
Well, you're always going to have the power cord.
Yeah, one wire. Okay, I'll live with one wire. I could drill that into the wall. But did you see any wireless HDMI here?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good.
Absolutely.
All right. Because I know Belkin, we talked about this, killed the fly wire. So is there other stuff, though?
No, the Toshiba Cell TV has the 60
built
gigahertz built in. And
60 gigahertz?
Yeah, it's 60 gigahertz.
So it's a unique frequency. It's not 802.11.
No.
It's something else.
No, that's correct. There are several different wireless HDMI
So your TV may have that built in.
Yeah.
Then it makes sense to put it all in the Blu-ray player, have it off in the corner.
Exactly.
And have the TV has the one power cord, but that's it. TV will have Wi-Fi, too, so the Roku-style streaming can happen.
Yep. That's great. And LG has another type of wireless HD that they're doing as well.
Scott Wilkinson is the home theater geek. His podcast at twit.tv/HTG. He's also the editor-in-chief of the Ultimate AV Mag at ultimateavmag.com.
I think I got that right now.
And also a columnist for Home Theater Magazine at hometheatermag.com. And, of course, he drove here in his Lincoln powered by Sinkin. No. Didn't quite work. I tried to make a poem.
That's great.
Sync, of course, that great technology that is in Ford, Lincoln, and Mercury vehicles. Some big announcements here. If you didn't see my interview with Ford CEO Alan Mulally, you've got to see it. It's just exciting what they're planning. The idea, and Alan was really very clear about this, is safety first, but connecting you to all that stuff that you've got at home so that you can be connected, you can get work done. You don't have to get in the car and be isolated, but you never have to take your eyes off the road or your hands off the wheel, and that is key. He said absolute safety is paramount. Sync, I feel, does that. You press a button on the wheel, and you can talk to the car. You can ask for directions. It'll tell you. You can ask for sports scores or read the New York Times. It'll tell you. You can even say, play Home Theater Geeks. And if you've got a USB-connected iPhone or Zune, or even a USB-connected hard drive with music and podcasts on it, you can actually ask for those podcasts by name. Lots more in the Sync. I want you to go to your Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealer and say, I want to test drive Sync, or go to SyncMyRide.com. That's the great website for Sync owners, but there's also a lot of material there for people who are interested in Sync. I have Sync in my car, and I tell you, I've tried them all. This is easily the best, and with what Ford is doing with the Sync platform, with an app store, tweeting, I mean, it's just very exciting to be part of this. SyncByRide.com, and we thank them so much for their support. You know, it's really kind of interesting. I mean, here it is, Ford, an American car company, tying up with American technology to make simply the best experience on the road today, beating anybody else in any other country. It kind of makes me proud, and I'm really glad that we have an American choice. So if you've been wanting to buy American, Ford, Lincoln, or Mercury dealers right now. SyncMyRide.com. Anything else going on that you thought was important?
Well, let's see.
It's hard to just pick one thing. I know that kind of puts you on the spot. Well,
I have to tell you, the Sony has redesigned a lot of their TVs. They're using what they're calling a monolithic design. Normally, I don't pay too much attention to, you know, the industrial design, how, you know, with the bezel and the stand and all that stuff. I don't care. It's going to be in a dark room when I'm watching it. All I care about is the picture. But this monolithic design is actually quite cool. When the TV's turned off it looks like a solid black monolith, almost like from 2001.
I kind of like that.
Yeah, and it's
that's a big problem. Is the TV's ugly in the living room?
Right, right. This thing is it just looks like the monolith from 2001, and it's stuck in a in a groove in a rectangular wow. brushed metal base, and you turn it on, and it makes this beautiful picture. So
I want French provincial though. I don't want monolith.
It's definitely modern.
It's definitely modern. Yeah,
yeah they even have it tilted back 6 degrees. So if it's sitting a little lower than optimum,
it's aimed at eyesight.
Aimed at your eye when you're sitting down. Yeah. So they went to
that sounds gorgeous.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You really should check it out.
Favorite booth on the show floor.
Well, I haven't been to the Central Hall yet. I'm expecting Samsung to be my favorite because it has been for the last several years.
I haven't been there yet. We gotta. You know what, Kiki. Kiki, go to Samsung. First stop, Samsung. We want to see the Samsung. We're getting the Kiki wireless rig, as you can see. She's getting ready to go out. It's kind of like suiting up for an EVA in space. It's a little bit of an extravaganza going on over there, but she's going to go out, and maybe we'll get her over to the Samsung booth and take a look
Definitely.
At that.
Definitely. Samsung, yeah. Sony, Panasonic,
Sony's booth
LG.
Is beautiful, all black. Yeah. As we said, it's suitable for viewing, but it also felt kind of different in such a brightly lit space as this.
Yeah.
It really
it's
kind
a
of
little
was
strange.
Nice.
Yeah.
Microsoft and Intel are here, and they have some interesting stuff, even home theater stuff.
Oh, yeah?
Because, well, there's, you know, more and more of this stuff is powered by an operating system and powered
True
by
enough.
A processor.
True enough.
One of the things that's really transforming this is that they're able to put these low-power chips, the low-energy chips, in high-powered processors into these TVs. I notice there's a lot of attention to green these days, especially.
Seriously, that's the other huge story at the show. It has been for the last several years, but it's getting only more and more so. Toshiba, one of the companies, claimed that they have a zero carbon footprint at the show when you take into account carbon offsets.
All the
offsets.
Credits that they bought. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
I could do that, too. It's just a question of spending money.
The Panasonic press kit was basically a little paper thing with a link, you know, with a URL to their website.
More and more people are doing that, I noticed.
And you put it in the ground and it'll grow a plant. It has some seeds in it.
Do you think they're really committed to green, or this? Well, that's,
absolutely,
or
is, no. I do think so.
They had a display. I can't remember where. I think it was Panasonic, where they had their older plasma and their newer plasma, and it was the difference of something like 150 or 200 watts. I mean, it's like the difference between having three or four light bulbs on all the time, and that's a remarkable difference.
Oh, absolutely,
really
absolutely.
Yeah.
Sharp is huge into making solar cells. They announced at the show.
Hitachi has their solar car here that won the Australia trip. They went from Adelaide from Darwin to Adelaide all across Australia. It's a cool looking car. You gotta go see
that.
It's just all solar panels. But I said, can I get in it? And they said, you have to be 90 pounds. And I said, not in this lifetime. Thank you.
No.
Thank you.
No, but the Sharp is making very higher efficiency solar cells. And they're
that's of interest because you get the efficiency on current solar cells. I think it's only 5 or 10%.
That's
if you
right.
get it higher,
it's much higher.
It
apparently.
Makes a huge difference.
I don't know the number, but it's apparently a lot higher and a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And all these companies are using less toxic materials in their stuff. Oh,
that's big because there's a lot of mercury and other heavy metals used traditionally.
I will say one other thing. Sharp, it's not the area I cover, but they introduced a whole new range of LED lighting products. So with regular bases, so you can screw them into your regular outlet, your regular light fixture,
right?
And it's LED, and you can change the color of it and the brightness of it. It's totally dimmable,
and
you know, you can go from yellow to white to blue, so you can change the color temperature of it. That looked very interesting to me, and it uses a lot less energy, no mercury, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's great. Well, it's a great day to be in Vegas on Elvis's 75th birthday.
Oh, that's today, isn't it?
Yes, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Elvis.
The king.
He's
here. I saw a number of them actually walking through the show floor. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We also saw a wedding earlier at the Showstoppers event. I mean, we're in Vegas. There's no question about it. Enjoy the rest of the show. I hope you have a great time.
It should be great.
And we're so glad you could be here. Folks, watch the Home Theater Geeks podcast at twit.tv/8/HTG for Home Theater Geeks. And Scott will be back. We're going to do a whole 3 hours, even answering questions.
You bet.
So if you have questions, Sunday 11 to 2 Pacific during the radio show. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Right here in the same booth?
Just like this. In fact, it's not going to look any different.
Okay.
It's going to be exactly the same.
Fantastic.
Thanks for joining us on Home Theater Geeks.